This morning's first passage can be found on page 1110 of your pew Bibles, page 1110. We're reading Acts chapter 15, verses 1 to 11, page 1110. Certain people came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the believers, "Unless you are circumcised, according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved." This brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed, along with some other believers, to go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles and elders about this question. The church sent them on their way, and as they travelled through Phoenicia and Samaria, they told how the Gentiles had been converted. This news made all the believers very glad. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and elders, to whom they reported everything God had done through them. Then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, "The Gentiles must be circumcised and required to keep the law of Moses." The apostles and elders met to consider this question. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. "Brothers, you know that some time ago God made a choice among you that the Gentiles should hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows my heart, knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He did not discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try and test God by putting on the necks of Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear? No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading this morning comes from Philippians 3, verses 1 to 11, which can be found on page 1180 of the Pew Bibles. Philippians 3, 1 to 11. "Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Jesus Christ and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Jesus Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, because becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you both. And in your service sheets, you should have the little handout, which may help as we go through, see where we are and follow along. But also, my prayer is that you take it away, maybe make notes in it, questions to yourself, and have a look at the passage and hear God speaking to you through it. Maybe this will help. Let's pray as we come to God's word. Father God, we do thank you for this wonderful letter written out of a great partnership between Paul and the Philippians. as they rejoice together in their faith in you. May we understand more of what was going on then, but mostly may we understand what it is that you're saying to us today through these words. Amen. Amen. I wonder what the good news you believe looks like to you. I wonder what the good news you believe looks like to you. I've been thinking, obviously I have three birth children and a foster child. They're all involved in school. And there's a whole bunch of different voices, whether it's about kind of specifically religions and faiths, or whether it's about kind of the culture and beliefs to do with that. There's a lot to sift through for them. It's true of us as adults as well, isn't it? There's a lot of noise. What does our faith look like? Can we choose one thing rather than another? Is it kind of a choice of whether there's just a lot of ropes and I'm going to choose which one to cling to, which one works for me? Or is there truly an exclusive claim? One way, which Jesus seems to suggest there is. Is it a bit more actually like being lost at sea, capsized, and you can choose, I can try and swim myself to shore, or I can try and make my own boat out of the driftwood floating around me, or I can accept this rescue that is in this particular lifeboat offered for me. What does the good news you believe look like? Well, in this passage, please hold it open because it'd be good to look at it together. We come, verse 1, Paul talks about further matters. He's just been talking about sort of the belief that we have that what Jesus did for us, and then some of the example of humility. Last week, we thought about some of his friends and showing us what it is like to trust in God. And here he says, rejoice in the Lord, verse 1. And again, later in the same section, in chapter 4, verse 4, he'll say it twice. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice, I say. The whole section is how to have joy. Why? Because of the gospel you believe. And we need to make sure that the good news we believe is God's good news for us. That is what gives us joy. So the good news, the gospel, is something to do with, if you look down in verse 9, you see this word righteousness. You may be familiar with it, but it might be slightly a very odd word, righteousness. It's about being right with God, being friends with God in a way, being seen through and in Jesus. It's being friends with God in God's family forever. How? Well, the early church, church a while ago, summarized it by a series of statements using alone. They talked about grace alone, by faith alone, and by Christ alone. They also had according to scripture alone and for God's glory alone. But we're going to focus on that first three today because they come in this passage. The good news, righteousness, being God's family, being saved to God, comes through grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone. And when we talk about grace alone, grace is a gift, a free gift in Jesus. It can't be earned. It's about receiving a gift. I got some Father's Day gifts this morning and it was great and I just received them. I didn't try and earn them. I'm going to take them, and mostly I'm going to eat them and drink them. That'll give you a guess as to what they are. By faith alone, that's by trusting in God's way of bringing you to him. Trusting in Jesus. Just holding out our hands to seize the promise given to us. And it is in Christ alone. And in chapter 2, we had those wonderful verses. Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, but he made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. That's at the heart of our faith, isn't it? Why we have a wonderful cross at the front to remind ourselves. Jesus takes our place. Whatever the mess we've made, whatever sins we've done, however we've hurt others and hurt God and turned away, Jesus takes all of that stuff on himself. He says, I will take your place, and you can take my place. The wonderful swap, a free offer. You can be children of God's because I have dealt with all of the problem. So coming back to that idea of drowning in the sea, if we may, if that's not too scary, we are splashing around in the sea, and Jesus is the one lifeboat that will save us. And grace alone means not trying to pay for it or earn it. It's going, oh, look how much splashing I can do. Maybe they'll get me into the boat that way. Or I'm trying to make myself boat ready. I get to smarten up because it's a boat. Got to get the shoes on while I am in the sea drowning. It's not about that, is it? It's a free gift. Come and be rescued. Don't be a drowning body. Faith alone means not trusting in anything we can do to get to God, but in his rescue. Can I try and swim for it? Or can I try and make a boat around me and ignore that lifeboat? Don't be a drowning body. It's a free gift, and it's by faith alone, in Christ alone. This rescue, this righteousness as children of God is simple. But we people often try and complicate things. We want to achieve our own status with God through our own efforts. Look at me swimming. I've got my 100 meters badge. We all do that. We want to know where we're in the pecking order of Christians. I am doing better than others. I will drown last. We all do it. We need to keep coming back to these verses, particularly verses 7 to 9. Whatever were gains to me, the things that I could do to achieve my own goodness, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ, be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Do you see there echoing those words? Grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone. So rejoice in the Lord, because this is wonderful good news to believe. And we'll think about that a little bit more. But why did the Philippians need to hear this, first of all? Well, if you look down in verse 2, you'll see something of the situation. And we had that Acts 15 reading. I don't know if you were sort of picking it up as we went along, but it was a council of Jerusalem, and they met to deal with this question. Do the Gentiles, do the new Christians who are not of the Jews, not of the right people, do they need to have the Jewish rites to belong to Jesus? And the answer was no. But still a group, sometimes called the Judaizers, they wanted to add to the alones. They wanted them to do the Jewish things. They wanted to have faith plus doing this thing. And they insisted on fully fulfilling the old ways, and particularly things like circumcision. Which is curious. Why was this, frankly, painful process in the times before local anaesthetics, why was it attractive? Well, it's probably because it was a physical, external sign of belonging. That's often powerful, isn't it? Think of the team shirt. I don't know if you've started watching the Euros or if that's just passing you by the next few weeks. But putting on the team shirt or waving the team flag, it's a powerful thing, an external sign of belonging. And also it's something they could do. It satisfies our pride to have something to do, to achieve. I've done this and you haven't, so I'm in and not you. I've been done. We have baptism these days, we have communion. These are good external signs given to us by God. They had circumcision and that was given by God. But Paul writes, and in Greek there's a big emphasis in the three phrases. He uses beware three times and then the, and then three times a word in Greek which begins with K. He writes, beware the dogs, beware the evildoers, beware the mutilation. Can you hear it? Be really careful, there's a danger here. He writes this to his beloved brothers and sisters, verse 1 and verse 13. Beloved brothers and sisters, verse 17, 4, verse 1. He's writing to those he loves. He writes passionately and he wants to protect them. Beware, beware, beware. And in verse 3, he shows the contrasting truth. This is a lie that's been given you. Here's the contrasting truth. In verse 3, it says this. It is we who are the circumcision. You don't need something done to you. You don't need to achieve something. We who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Do you need to get circumcision to really belong? No! We are the circumcision. Well, how? Well, circumcision had been given by God as a kindness in the Old Testament, a mark on his people to remind them and reassure them that they were his people and he was their God. But it didn't achieve anything in and of itself. You could fall away still. You could do the wrong things and turn your back on God. In the New Testament, in other letters, we're pointed to the circumcision of the heart. It's not on the outside, it's not a marker, but it's a marker on our inner selves rather than external. It's a mark on our lives by the presence of God's Spirit, him in our lives through Jesus. That is what marks us out as belonging to God's people. That is the new circumcision, if you like, that we're changed on the inside by trusting in Jesus and receiving God's Spirit. So he's saying, rejoice in the Lord, you're in Christ. And this description of verse 3 is really powerful if you just dwell on it. You can serve God by his Spirit. That's the language of the temple presence of God. We are priests as God with us by his Spirit because of Jesus alone. So then boast in Jesus. Boast only in Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh, in the things that we do, in the things on the outside. Putting it sort of starkly, cutting bits off yourself doesn't bring you any closer to God. Only Jesus. So boast in him and rejoice. Well, that was their particular situation. We may feel slightly removed from that, but I think it has some applications for us. So our first big thought for this is rejoice in the Lord, you're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. You become free from worldly achieving or from fleshly achieving. And that thing up there is a dung beetle. My phrase here is don't be a dung beetle. I don't know if that's going to help you, but we're going to cling to it. Because if you are saying that religious achievements or ethnic belonging are important, Paul says, I can play this game better than you. Do you see that in verse 4 to 7? He says, I am the Hebrew of Hebrews. I was circumcised at just the right time for a Jew on the eighth day. I am not only belonging to Israel, but a particular tribe of Benjamin. That's one of the two really good tribes that had Jerusalem as part of them. He's not just a circumcised Gentile that's been brought in. No, this is one who's at the core of the right people. He's a Pharisee. He's devoted to the law. The Pharisees were the one who taught the law, helped other people keep the law. He was zealous, passionate, so passionate that he had been persecuting the church, chasing around, getting people arrested, nodding along as Stephen got stoned to death. He was lawfully faultless and righteous. He observed all that Torah, all those things about the right food, the right drink, the right cleaning, the right days. How do we define righteousness? Is it in terms of food and drink and observance of days? Is it in terms of church rites and forms? By no means. It's only knowing Christ. And that's why those other things are described not just are not gain, but they're loss, because they're dangerous. Because if we cling to them instead of Jesus, we're in real danger. It's like trying to swim to a shore that is just too far away. Swimming might be good, but we'll end up drowned if we don't give it up to receive the rescue offered freely. And he describes this earthly confidence as dangerous loss. In fact, in verse 8, he uses a word that seems to describe street trash, which in those days would have included dung. Don't be a dung beetle and cling to these things. So there's a question for us. It's there on your sheet if you want to think about it through the week. What am I in danger of putting my trust in? Maybe like this. If someone asked me why I deserve to get to heaven, what would my answer be? Is it about being in the right family, having a respectable upbringing, we're nice people? Is it about being English, not one of those people who've come in more recently, we're a proper Church of England? Is it that we're devoted to the law, we've been well taught, and we seek more teaching so we know more and have better Bible answers to questions than others? These things, when they're good, but don't put your trust in them. Is it that we're more zealous? Sometimes in church, we raise our hands in our passion. You are allowed to, by the way. If we always come to the prayer meeting, again, it would be lovely to see you. Always listening to Christian music. Is it that we're passionate for Jesus? Are we churchy enough? We know the church seasons. It's ordinary time after Trinity, by the way. We know the prayer book language. We know how churches relate to each other. We know about bishops and deans. All these things are good, but we must not put our trust in them for our righteousness, for our belonging to God and his family. Don't be a dung beetle clinging to what we can do or achieve in order to be with God. Here again, our righteousness, our security in God's family is by grace alone, a free gift, through faith alone, trusting what God has done in Christ alone. So I think that's an important application. And for me, I need to keep coming back to it, because one week I'll just be feeling a bit better about myself, because I've done the right sorts of things, and I must say well, they're good to have done. But I didn't deserve this rescue. God has done it freely for me. So have a think about that through the week. My second thought is this: rejoice in the Lord, you're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. You have found the best. So be a dependent believer. You have found the best. Come with me to this last paragraph, verse 7 to 11. It's just wonderful. Wallow in it all week. First of all, knowing Christ now, verse 8, it says, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. As a child knows a parent, or as a parent knows a child, as you know your sort of bestest friend, intimate, relational, Christ Jesus my Lord. Devotion to him as our God, as our Saviour and King. We had this language earlier in the letter in chapter 1. Paul can say, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I'm to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. But what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. It's good to do this stuff here, but I also desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. Knowing Christ in your life now, that's the heart of our faith, isn't it? That's the ultimate treasure. Rejoice in the Lord because you can know Christ now. And you are found in him. So verse 8 continues, and into verse 9, Paul says, I consider them garbage, dung, street rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. And then there are two wonderful parallel phrases, and you'll hear those same refrains again. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law through things what I can do, but that which is through faith in Christ. It's a righteousness that comes from God. It's a free gift on the basis of faith. Do you hear those phrases again and again? Grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone. You can be found in Jesus because we trust to receive righteousness freely from God by faith. And being found in Jesus means being seen by God as perfect, pure, his beloved children. You can know Christ now, you can be found in him, and you can be secure forever. Isn't that brilliant? Come with me to the last part of this passage. He says, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. To know power of his resurrection and sharing in Jesus' sufferings. And that's a theme we've had earlier in this letter. In chapter 2, Paul can say, if I'm being poured out like a drink offering, remember he's arrested and he seems to think that one real chance is that he will be executed. I am glad and rejoice with all of you, so you too should be glad and rejoice with me. This is real. Christian life is lived in the power of the resurrection. God's with us. Our trust to be forever, knowing Jesus and secure forever, but feeling the suffering of this world. I know a number of us are suffering even now. We've talked about rejoicing through sufferings. We never want it to be glib. But it is reminding ourselves of truths like this that we can start to make this possible. If as we follow Jesus, we expect to become like him in his suffering and death, chapter 2, that picture, his humility, as a pattern for us, sacrifice for others, we know we've died to the power of sin and are secure forever. Pick up your cross and follow me, Jesus says. So then, rejoice in the Lord, because you can know Jesus in your life now. You are found in him, seen by God, as righteous. Whatever you've done, whatever you get up to, whatever mistakes you make this week even, you are found in Jesus. And you can call God your daddy. And you are secure forever. God will keep you. The power of his resurrection, resurrection from the dead. So three lots of DB, if that helps. Don't be a drowning body. This is the gospel. Or a dung beetle, trying to do it by yourself or clinging to earthly achievements. Be a dependent believer. Rejoice. You are freed from striving, from competing, from fear, from guilt, from unworthiness. So do not go back. Be a dependent believer. You are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. I'd love to finish by just reading those verses together. So can you find in your Bibles, they start from verse 7, and we'll read from verse 7 through to verse 10. I've lost out the numbers. Let's say together, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Isn't that amazing? Read it again and again this week. I have the wonderful thing, being a preacher, I've been wallowing in this passage. Come back to it again and again. Grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, security forever. So then, rejoice. Let me pray. Father God, may we receive your gift of belonging to your family. May we receive it freely by trusting in Jesus. Help us spot when we're tempted to try and go our own way or trust in our own achievements. But may we rejoice in you, knowing you as your beloved children and being secure forever in your love. Amen.